Facebook post from Camacho, as read by a 16-year-old female.
Really? On all days for us to have a power outage, that's to be the launch day of Gears of War 4? Are you fucking serious? PG&E, you better get this back up and running. I have 48 hours before I have to go back to work, and I'll be damned if I can't game or do my show tonight. Hashtag problems of a gamer. Hashtag no! Have a huge caffeine headache. It isn't a true Camacho moment until the Horde of Gondor goes up. Have a huge caffeine headache. Been up for almost 12 hours. Have another 4.5 to go. Cranky, irritable, grouchy. But I'm going to have to tell Thursday what time it is. Hashtag bring it. Hashtag ain't afraid of no ghost. Hashtag let's do this. Hashtag get commatched.
Well, I forgot about that one.
So I click on my bank's app to check my finances, and I see hurricane alert. Please check in with Twitter and Facebook to find the location. Really? Because the last time I checked, that fucker was all the way in Florida. It's 59 degrees and sunny with a 5-mile-per-hour breeze up here in Humboldt County. A hurricane alert on my bank app is about as useful as an ashtray on a roller coaster. And to be frank, that's just not very useful to me. I'm in California. Hey, Wells Fargo, thanks, but I'm fully aware of the location of Hurricane Matthew. That's why I live in California. One less natural disaster I gotta worry about. Hashtag shaking my head. Hashtag epic fail.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
There we go. Hashtag bust
right. You gotta get a cut now because you just boosted our ratings, yeah.
That's awesome.
Had your kids. Had your wife.
Coming straight at you from the heart of the California Redwoods, it's Shed Time.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Winning. My jokes are bad.
Welcome to the shed. I'm Andrew Newman, sitting in the shed again with the already aforementioned Brian Camacho.
How's it going, everybody? Thanks for having me.
Camacho, how you been?
Great.
Yeah?
It's been a long work week, but it's been awesome.
Steve?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, good.
Well, Camacho?
Hey, you got to introduce the 16-year-old.
My name's Shelly. I like Facebook. Ponies.
Yes. And of course, the lovely Holly Hall is the first female ever to walk into the shed.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's badass. You just made history.
It's really dark in here. Why are you guys sweating?
That's awesome.
That's why I'm going to marry her. But
I'm 16.
That's great.
You're increasing our downloads.
All right. It's true.
Increasing the ratings. High five for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want her to feel too intimidated by the sheer amount of geek in her presence. So, right. Yeah, she wants to add on to whatever kind of crazy shit we bring up tonight.
I feel confident.
Feel free to interject. To
ride that geek river pretty good.
Yeah.
That didn't come out too.
What?
Shit.
You want me to ride what? I told you I'm only 16.
All right.
Is that what you named it?
Right. Come on, tell me about the video games.
Oh, well, we're going to begin this segment. That.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the show
games.
With...
There's been some games that you've been geared up to get hyped about.
Yeah, totally. And, Let's see. Last week I got Titanfall 2. That was kind of an anticipated installment for the Titanfall series.
Anticipated.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, what was so anticipated about was the fact that this installment, they added a campaign to the actual game. Because, again, the first game wasn't really, they incorporated a campaign storyline, or they integrated into the PvP portion of it. But this game is just campaign or PvP. And the campaign story is, for me, it didn't capture me as quick. You're part of the militia group. You got a hold of a Titan. You're trying to fight off the IFC force on strange planets. The campaign isn't as exciting as the PvP. Okay. Multiplayer is where it's at. It's smooth. It's not super fast, not like Call of Duty where it scrolls on crack.
Does the campaign story improve?
I think they could have done a little bit more put a little bit more investment in story writing a little bit.
Okay.
But I don't think people buy Titanfall for the story or even for the campaign mode for that matter. But overall, it's a good game. Okay. It's definitely a step up from the first one. So, if you guys are running out of things to play, you want something to add to your library, an achievement here and there, go get Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Now, what came out last night, I wasn't as hyped for it until I put it in my disk drive and started playing it, was a new Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare. Takes place in the future. It's definitely in the future. There's colonization going on throughout the planets. You have an independent rebel group that is trying to thwart the efforts of expansion through the solar system. That's your antagonist. The protagonist that you play as is I guess some kind of captain or lieutenant in the military front that tries to help the colonization and the frontier expand through the universe. Again, it takes place in the future, not like Mass Effect future, but within like the next, like if we had the technology and then like the next like 55, 60 years future kind of thing. The storyline's really cool. The multiplayer, it's smooth. It still has that fast pace Call of Duty, but it's not as crazy as the Black Ops series. It's toned down a little bit. It's smooth. Titanfall is Titanfall. If you're a fan of what it has to offer, go get it. It's fun. But if you want something that's big in the storyline and you want a pretty big multiplayer, Call of Duty is where it's at. Okay. And it's funny because 24 hours ago, I was not excited for this game at all. I'm standing in line like, why am I even standing in line? I'm not even excited for the game. I downloaded it last night, and I was like, let me play a level or two. The storyline's pretty badass. Graphics are really eye candy. Multiplayer, it's fun. It's smooth. It's not janky. It's pretty well balanced. It has a good variety of your different classes that you want to choose. So it was a surprise to me that I totally just got hooked onto Call of Duty. And it's been a while since I got excited and hooked into a Call of Duty. I think the last Call of Duty series I really got into was Ghosts, Call of Duty Ghosts, which came out, I guess, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And so it's kind of nice to have something that's a little bit more... feels fresh. It still has the Call of Duty feel to it, but it's not as crazy as the Black Ops series, So, for those that really want a good stocking stuffer or an early Christmas present, go out and get Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. It's multi-console, so, not only is it available for the Xbox One, it's also for the PS4.
You recommend that over Titanfall?
I definitely recommend, and I'm not a big Call of Duty fan, but I have to say, this one I definitely recommend over Titanfall 2. Definitely. So, go out and have fun with your with those games. Mm. And I still have one more to get next week. The final one is Watch Dogs 2. Takes place in San Francisco. That's why I'm getting it.
So, how excited are you about Watch Dogs 2?
I'm semi-excited because I get to roam San Francisco.
Okay. And, modern day? Or
I think it's present to semi-modern day. Well, what I mean by, because they don't have like flying cars or any shit, but okay. The technology that they have.
But it's a near future then, yeah?
Yeah, I'd say with probably within like the like maybe 7 to 10 years future. If that, they're not going too far into it. But they try to make it like as its present day.
Okay.
But the first Watch Dogs took place in Chicago, and it was interesting. You know, you're just some, you're the backstory of the original Watch Dogs is that you are a hacker that basically you got out of jail or prison or whatever for your hacking crimes, and you got recruited now by a group of people that basically is holding your family hostage, and you have to help them hack into something that they want, whether it's money or something. And so you're trying to do what they want, but at the same time trying to rescue your family that's being held hostage. It's cool. You know, there's different skill trees. You can dump all your points into just being able to hack with your cell phone and switch traffic lights, and when you're in the middle of a car chase,
sure,
so that
yeah.
you know, you switch into red behind you, mm-hmm. so that the cross traffic, you know, in the intersection,
yeah, right, yeah, totally,
to
totally.
Stop the people behind you. Or you can dump your skill points in your fighting, you know, to, you know, shooting, fighting, whatever. It's cool. I mean, it's either you like it or you don't. And I bought it for the heck of it just to see. And it was good. It's made by Ubisoft. So when they announced that this Watch Dogs 2, that again, its release is next week, is going to take place in San Francisco, definitely take my money. Mm-hmm. I definitely, you know.
Take it.
Because the last time I got to play a game that took place in San Francisco, well, which was a fictional San Francisco, was Grand Theft Auto, the San Andreas.
Four?
Yeah.
Oh, San Andreas. Yeah, right.
Which it wasn't called San Francisco. It was called San Fierro. Yeah. Yeah, but it was still San Fran.
Yeah.
And it was cool, you know. And I just, I like it when video games and movies incorporate, you know, the city where I'm born and raised in.
Sure.
Into that culture, it's awesome. Or to that level of entertainment. So yeah.
I like them when they put San Diego in the original Top Gun game.
Wow, really?
Oh, they did.
No, I remember the original Top Gun game was an old NES cartridge, yeah. And you literally were just in like a cockpit, and like just tons and tons of MiGs are flying at you.
Okay, yeah.
And you're flying over the ocean. That's all it was ocean. Yeah, you had to land on the aircraft carrier at the end of each mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, totally.
But the Top Gun movie is very San Diego.
Oh, it is. Miramar, all that. Yeah, totally. Where he's riding his Kawasaki Ninja or whatever. He's like, yeah, you know, and planes landing and shit. Yeah, totally. Remember that?
Of course, I remember. F-14's landing in the back. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had a topic that you wanted to bring up.
We had a couple of them. The one I suggested was, of all the Superman movies that have been made, the 4 Christopher Reeve movies, there was 1 Brandon Routh movie, 2 Henry Cavill movies so far.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of them...
Don't forget Tim Daly.
Okay, let's do as a subcategory afterwards, I was thinking. We'll include animated stuff.
Sure.
But we're only talking about live-action movies.
Okay.
So that also excludes Smallville and, like, Lois and Clark, which I'm sure you guys were, champing at the bit to, like...
Yeah, I'll tell you.
One of the show, my favorite, Lois and Clark.
Don't forget Tom Welling with, you know, from Smallville.
Oh, right. Well, we could do TV some other time. Let's just... I figured this was nice and neat.
Okay.
It gives us, 7 movies to pull from?
Yeah.
So, favorite Superman
I'm looking for scene from any of the movies.
Exactly, correct. Favorite...
TV, movies, anything?
No, we're just doing movies.
Okay.
Just doing movies now. And then we can expand it later, let's say.
Okay.
But this keeps it nice and tight, gives it a nice, range of options.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Camacho, I know you have something already lined
up. Yeah.
Oh, I have a few lined up.
I've already heard quite a bit about Titanfall and Call of Duty. So I want to hear about what your favorite. I want to hear your favorite Superman.
I want to, you know, put in my. I have a quick list from from my least favorite to my top number.
So you can rank them.
Can I rank them real quick? It'll be quick. It'll be fast.
List,
but it'll be fast. Like I said,
I don't have a list compiled.
But I'd like to, you know, bring out a list if that's okay with you guys.
One thing that epitomizes Superman.
Can we start with your number one and then perhaps...
Work our way down the pyramid?
Yeah, like,
but it would be quick, and you know, we'll like
the round table. Okay, okay. If you want to give, right, how about this? I hate snap. Negotiating.
We got a little timer.
Yeah, it'd be really
you
quick.
You quick fire the yeah. nine, yeah. and then you go into an explanation about the one.
Quick one. I don't have to get you because you'll
10
know.
To two.
Okay, okay. You can. So we'll, least, we will allow for like a quick conveyance. Of
okay.
Yeah.
Your other ones, just tell us what they are, but I don't want to hear.
Right.
Okay, my least from John, the bottom of the pyramid Joe, to the very yeah, top. No, exactly. Okay, okay mm-hmm. So from the bottom would be from Batman versus Superman. Right when Superman first appears with the Batmobile, crashing into him, he spins around, he sees him, and then he rips off the top. Yeah. That I like that scene. That okay. was a good scene. You know, okay. Nothing really spoken. The scene, another Superman scene that was above that. That was one of my favorites.
So hold on, you're saying that scene ends. The only good part about that scene is the scene when he crashes into him, and as soon as they start talking to each other. Do you bleed? Fuck all that.
Yeah, no. Okay, it was the just scene the scene that he just you're as just he's spinning around, good. He just sees okay. him. He's like, whoa.
You if know, you okay. include, I may have had beef if you included the little dialogue.
No, I did that, not. I did not. No, it was just that one, that quiet, it was a quiet, you know, like there was sure. no dialogue. Yeah, just yeah. It was this yeah, quick, was like, scene.
Yeah.
A scene after that one is, I have to say, the Brendan Ralph movie. The part where he's trying.
How many are you listing?
Just three. Just one more
okay.
after this.
Oh,
one.
Okay.
That's
I thought
it.
We were.
That's yeah. it. No.
Okay.
My top three. Number two uh-huh. is the super. I guess it's Superman Returns. Brendan yeah. Ralph is when the jet in the beginning of the movie, the jetliner is going down, uh-huh. and he's trying to yeah. stop it, uh-huh. and it's cool. Like he tries to hold on to the wing, but his strength. Yeah, he doesn't right. realize he pulls the wing off, and mm-hmm. he's just like, he has a oh shit look on his face, like,
mm-hmm.
like oh my god, like this thing just tore. I got to do something sure, else, yeah, and yeah, I exactly. think that was a really good scene because uh-huh. it demonstrated his strength. That was pretty good because they always were able to animate that. They were always able to put that in the animated series, but not on the big screen. Totally. And I have to say, and the Superman Returns was a terrible movie. But that one scene really was really well done.
I agree.
My top favorite, though, my number one, is the Christopher Reeve Superman, is when he goes to save Lois from the helicopter that's about to fall off the side of the building, and he's looking for a phone booth to change into, and there's only the half
yeah.
phone booth.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know where he's going to change, and he sees a revolving door, so he does the revolving door,
uh-huh.
and then there's that guy, that black guy hanging out, and goes, hey! He goes, hey! I'll let, you know, something like yeah, compliment right. his outfit, and then he, you know, takes off to, you know, up to go save
wow.
her.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was a cool scene. Okay. I really like that.
That's your number one.
That's my number one.
Like epitomizes a Superman
yeah,
for you.
That okay. was really good. Okay. Because I remember where I went and saw that on the big screen when I was a kid, uh-huh. and I was just like, yes! You know, that was really cool. So, there. Okay. That's my top three.
Okay.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay.
I think I've been thinking about it a little bit, and I think that when I went to go see Superman versus Batman, and I saw Superman show up at the Capitol building, and he was like all, like, kind of dour, and, oh, you know, why mm-hmm. am I here? He worries me. Why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, like, and I was like, no, that's not the Superman that I envisioned. I've always like thought about Superman from, you know, like Superman for All Seasons, or mm-hmm. the more, I don't know, optimistic.
Totally.
I don't know if Snyder thought that by portraying Superman like that, he was speaking to this generation, or I don't know. There's yeah. something,
probably all
something
the emos or something. There's no
darker, uh-huh. darker edge Superman, but. It made me actually appreciate, okay, one scene that I always remember is actually from Superman Returns,
mm-hmm.
When he gets shot in the eye by the bullet oh. and bounces off his
yeah.
eye.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I always, I'm like, yeah. I was like, damn, even his eyes.
Yeah.
But the scene that I must say that kind of stands out was actually from Man of Steel when he's just a kid and he saves everybody on the bus.
Okay.
I thought that was a really cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it because I kind of envisioned what I, a more pure mm-hmm. Superman who just wants to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no like, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a more simple, like, you know, I don't want to see, I don't want to watch, I don't necessarily want to watch Superman that's like playing games with Lex, like with like a kid like Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah. With,
Anyway, sorry, that's a bigger
yeah, right. That's another issue. Yeah.
But, yeah, what's yours?
For me, my number one is the, is your number two. It's the airplane scene from Superman Returns.
Okay.
I think that's the quintessential.
Okay.
It is, like you said, it's the first time we get like a good looking CGI sort of treatment of Superman where that motherfucker looks like he's flying.
Yeah.
As compared to, right, Christopher Reeves and stuff like that.
Sure.
So it was a scene that could not have been done in the 80s.
Nope.
So we see it for the first time. And there hasn't been a scene quite like it since, because even though we get a montage of Superman saving people in grandiose sort of slow motion in Batman v Superman, we don't get any scenes of him really. There's an, okay, if I had a, there are three that I'd like to. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, since you guys did three, I'm going to do three. Okay.
Go for it.
So that is my number one. Saving the plane, because it's quintessential. It's not Superman hitting people or fighting Doomsday. It's Superman saving. And that's what you were going for with the school bus. I totally understand and agree with, right? Yeah. But this is saving. This is wild, dressed as Superman, flying through the air, fucking stopping a plane. I see Superman as like a citizen of the world, but he is an American creation. So him, like the whole baseball stadium at the end was actually spoke to his legacy.
Yeah.
He was like fighting for truth, justice, and the American way for a period until that we realized that was, you know, wouldn't fly in our day and age. And I agree with that change, sure. Right?
So do I.
Make him a citizen of the world, right? But still, that was a nice little touch at the end. And it's by far my favorite scene. But him rescuing Lois in the first Superman, when she gives the, she says the, like famous line, he says, "Don't worry, I've got you."
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "You got me? Who's got you?"
Yeah.
That's great. She fucking delivered it great. And I don't know, that's a fucking, that'll always stand out in my mind. So him saving her with the helicopter, like a first appearance of Superman.
Yep.
But there's another one, and it's really short, and it's just a transition scene in Superman Returns. There's this scene where this guy, he's walking home from work or something like that, down some metropolis street, and he looks up and he just sees Superman. I think he's on his way to spy on Lois or something like that. It's not, don't think about what happens after this scene. Just think about this scene. Superman just whooshes by, flies by, and the guy has this look like, wow. And it's just this short little scene, but it's fucking
okay.
I get a little choked up just thinking about it. Because I see myself as that guy seeing Superman.
Sure.
You're always seeing yourself as Superman, but we're not. And to see he's just some fucking working stiff, walking home from his shift. And yeah, I don't know. It's fucking,
yeah.
Okay.
It was awesome. It was real touching. It was really touching.
Okay. That's pretty badass.
It's a lot of Superman Returns scenes.
And for a terrible movie. For a movie that not terrible. It's not Suicide Squad.
No.
But what I'm saying is,
for
like,
for a Superman movie,
it's
really
no one's favorite. And I do agree that it, but it had some very iconic scenes.
It did. It had some.
The bullet scene. Yeah. The eyeball scene.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I don't think I've ever had a real appreciation for. It's interesting. You bring up your favorite scenes from the original Superman movie.
Yeah.
And so when I think about the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, mm-hmm. I still have a hard time taking them seriously.
Uh-huh.
They have this light, it's like this overly 80s sort of campy light feel.
That's trying to take the Adam West Batman series seriously, because it just, you know, I think
it was a far cry from that, right?
But at the same time, though, when you look at, you know, the producers and the directors of the original, the Christopher Reeves movie, think about the time or the date that they were, you know, it was put out on Hollywood. It was in the late 70s, which was just about less than 20 years, maybe give or take, maybe even 22 years, 20, 23 years since the Superman series of black and white with George Reeves, right?
Mm-hmm.
as Superman. So this is like the first time that Superman has been on the big screen.
And Christopher Reeve played it straight. He did. He didn't go for like a, I'll save you.
No, he was very...
If you watch test footage of people auditioning for Superman, that's how 90% of them sound.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking terrible.
And Christopher Reeve really did a good job because the way his acting was in that Superman movie, of course he was Superman for four or three movies after that, four altogether, but the very first Superman movie, in a way, you know, it brought back Superman's like roots. Like, he's a very modest guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the actor, Christopher Reeves, was able to bring that in or out of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
A very modest guy. He knows he's the most powerful being on the planet, but yet he didn't act like it.
He's humble.
Exactly. Totally. And that's, I think, where people really got nostalgic about the Christopher Reeve doing the movie. Now, the way it was done, of course, it's so far-fetched from what we've seen recently.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. This is the first Superman movie since the series. And, you know, this is kind of like they're... I mean, it could have been... But sure, if you look at it now, there's a lot that could have been, you know... they could have been there's some rough edges to it, you can admit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of
think Henry Cavill looks more like Superman,
of course,
but Christopher Reeves, it behaves more like Superman.
Yes,
I'd say, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
and yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Christopher Reeves has like a humility, which is what I always appreciate about Superman in the comic, and what I always thought of Superman. He always had this humility about him, and he always was humble. And I kind of think that the Henry Cavill, Zack Snyder Superman lacks a humility. I don't know.
They
did kind of a decent job of Man of Steel. I think Man of Steel is a better, much better movie than Batman or Superman.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
Because, you know, they kind of instilled the Smallville thing, and, you know, and Kevin Costner was a pretty good Jonathan. He was okay, you know.
Like what you were saying, like your scene about like where he was saving the school bus as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that I'll never forget that scene that they had when he was, you know, in the closet, in the janitor's closet.
Yeah.
And his mom had to, you know, come and coax him out of the closet. And there's a reason why, because he didn't understand his super hearing.
Yeah. That was cool.
His vision, he was able to look through and see, you know, and that's really cool because they showed him not embracing the power yet or even understanding, but scared of it. And it's cool that this, you know, soon-to-be most powerful, like, hero is still a kid yearning and, you know, crying for his mother's nurturing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, that was cool. That, in the Smallville part that they had in
definitely
in Man of Steel was really well done.
When he doesn't, well, I guess he does take his anger out on the asshole at the bar by impaling his big rig with redwood trunks, I guess but he doesn't flatten him against the wall of the bar when the guy throws a beer bottle at him, right? So he showed humility and restraint and stuff like that. They did a good job of, like you were saying, I think, that in Man of Steel, that Superman, that they gave him they tried to give him a backstory that, how do I want to say this, that I don't know if Henry Cavill portrayed it well, but they tried to give him a backstory that sort of added up to humility. Somebody who experienced these events would be a humble person at the end, right? You know.
But then you watch Batman vs. Superman, you're like, what happened to all that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you don't know him anything.
Right.
Remember, you know,
Maybe it's because he killed Zod.
Changed. This is like Star Trek, how the Kelvin timeline is different from the main. This is a complete, by killing Zod, this is a fan theory. By killing Zod, we're now going down this alternate timeline of Superman that killed Zod, whereas there's also a timeline that we don't get to see, where Superman didn't kill Zod, and that's the Superman we know and love.
Sure.
We are stuck with watching movies made about a timeline
where Superman kills Zod. If you remember, though, are you talking about Superman 2?
No, I'm okay, talking about killing him in Man of Steel.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Because I think he let him go, like, he kind of killed him.
How did Superman 2 end?
Okay, so this is what happened.
They died. They fell down.
He let him go. Yeah, he slid down to, I guess, their death at the bottom of this pit, at the bottom of under...
Because their powers were taken away.
Yeah.
So they're just mortals.
So he let him die.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
It was an earlier time.
Yeah.
With more naive values.
Because the bad guys deserved it.
Yeah, right.
You know, they... Yeah. Because sure. they... Yeah.
Of course they did. yeah.
Now, okay, I would say that empirically, I could justify this claim. What's his name? Kevin Costner and what's her name? Diane Lane. And this is probably Zack Snyder's fault, but
they I'll blame Zack Snyder right off the bat.
Jonathan and Martha, are the most callous interpretations of the characters that we have yet seen. Least sort of, thank God he landed in Smallville and the Kents raised him, otherwise he might be a real dick. They are both sort of isolationists. In both movies, they fucking counsel him not to, like, I guess there's the whole, people aren't ready yet, but when you hear Kevin Costner talk, it sounds like, oh, people ain't never going to be ready for you. It's a lost cause, you know what I mean? He's really a voice, it's like being Superman is a rebellion against him.
Yes.
Okay. Which is interesting in itself. But
yeah, it is, actually. Yeah.
I think it's more, I don't want to see... I don't want to see, like, a mopey, whatever.
Yeah.
No, he's...
Anyway.
Superman.
I mean, as down and, you know, he's been in situations, he's not, like... I think the most down I've ever seen Superman in a comic was in the New 52s. I think it's after the Justice League issue number 7 or 8.
When he's having, like, when he's imagining Lois having sex with
no, but
oh yeah, whose but, name is Jonathan? Yeah, remember at the beginning?
Weird. That could have been more better.
Oh yeah, he can hear it.
Basically,
or some shit.
He's, you know, something. He feels quote unquote alone, and he flies away. And then Batman notices that Wonder Woman is also gone. Uh-huh. And the next thing is them two making out. Which is fine. That's interesting, I guess. But that's like the most down I've ever seen Superman. Really, mm-hmm. like, you know, emotionally in a comic.
That was right when we started recording Shed Talk, and I remember listening to a podcast. Remember, he's a beacon of light. Yeah. You remember what we were listening to? Yeah, people were going crazy about that.
Yeah.
Well, at least these three or four guys that we were listening to.
Sure.
You know, for the most part, I like Man of Steel. I mean, I could pick it apart death all day. But anyway, it just so happens that my favorite Superman scene comes from it.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Just like Kamasha's comes from.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah. And Oak Ridge.
Yeah, Superman the Motion Picture, or whatever it was called.
Yeah, because when it came out, I think I was like 4 or 5 when that movie came out, and I was at the Empire Theater right there at West Portal Avenue, and you know, and they had a double feature actually. They showed the Buck Rogers movie. They showed Buck Rogers, you know, Gil Gerard, and then that was the opening, and then the double feature was Superman.
Wow,
and that was really cool. You know, I remember the night. You know, I had McDonald's. I had my Happy Meal, and then bam, went to the movies, and it was awesome. Most of my friends fell asleep halfway through Buck Rogers, and I was like, I've always been a movie goer, you know. And so to see, you know, Superman for the first time on the movie screen, you're like, yeah, you know.
But what was it like to see Superman for the third time?
I don't, you know, I didn't go see Superman 3 times when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I always remember, you know, when it came on HBO, I was watching it back much as
anytime
I could.
It was on,
yeah, totally. You know, yeah, it was good times. Yeah,
those are good times. So, cartoon.
Oh, okay. If we were to include animated, then I also have a scene for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So me.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Superman versus the Elite.
Wow.
You guys
okay.
seen this?
I have.
You, seen it? You remember?
Yeah,
okay.
I have.
So he's put under a lot of pressure, I guess because it becomes a popularity contest, and these other heroes, youngins,
yep,
who recently got their powers and are willing to go further and, you know, kill maybe or do, you know, destroy more than Superman is.
Okay.
And so people are giving him a hard time. And so at the end, spoilers, spoilers for sure.
You're spoiling fucking Superman and the Elite.
Yeah, versus the Elite, yes. So he decides to, actually it's not much, the details are what make it fun, but he decides to show everyone what it would be like if Superman actually played by their rules. And he shows them that that wouldn't work out. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
I'm trying to like, you sure. know. He finds a creative way to show them. He basically tricks them into thinking that he has gone that way, and he makes it appear that certain irreversible things have been done. Certain people have been killed, and only to reveal that, thank God I'm fucking both good and smart that I can mastermind this fucking deception and show you what it would be like if I really went rogue, yeah, and show you that you wouldn't like it. But nobody ended up getting hurt. I ended up showing you without hurting anyone, so I never went back on my fucking character. And fuck you all for questioning me on that. And, you know, flies away and everyone's like, yeah, sorry, Superman, you're right.
That's awesome.
Clearly not with that much aggression. But,
sure.
Yeah.
But in intent, character. But in intent, character, yes. Yeah. That's awesome.
But that's how you feel when you're watching it. You're like, yeah, you know what? Fucking yeah. But that's my favorite animated, yeah. I don't know.
Awesome. I have three. I have two or three quick favorite animated. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. The from least to favorite, my least is the first Superman animated movie when he was going against John Corbin. And when John Corbin was in that mech suit, and he was just totally just tossing him back and forth, but he had no idea. John Corbin had no idea that, like, sure. I mean, one of my favorite scenes is when he took him by the ankles and like crushed, like smashed him in the car over this car.
I don't
car.
Know which movie you're talking about. Actually,
this is like the very first like pilot of like, you know, the first son of the last son of Krypton.
So okay, so it's so, it is the animated series.
Yes, it's the animated series. And one of my favorite scenes is when John Corbin's mech suit grabs him by the ankles.
Yeah.
And he smashes him over a car, and the car ends up like folding into him. So then he takes the car and like crushes him into it, tosses it into a building, and then fires a rocket. Boom, right?
Yeah.
And here comes Superman. He just comes right out like nothing. Then he just messes up the mech suit and just totally like, you know, saves the day. I thought that was pretty well done.
Yeah.
My second favorite comes from the Justice League Unlimited when Superman really got pissed off and just beat the fuck out of Darkseid. You know, he was telling him, he goes, I've been treating this city like a cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, I'm not going to hold back any longer. And boom, he just almost he almost killed him.
He's like, finally, like, he, like, totally chance just, to really fucking
Yeah, and he let loose. Loose. Yeah. Yeah, he did. And that was really well done because that was the first time in the animated series that they were able to like just let him loose.
Yeah.
And that was really well done. My top favorite is in the Batman Superman movie when Batman first encounters Superman and Batman was in Metropolis and he's interrogating, you know, one of these, you know, these gangsters and Superman tells him to let him go, and he's, you know, they're so busy kind of arguing about it. The guy's starting to let go, and all of a sudden, Superman kind of, or Batman kind of pushes him out of the way. Uh-huh. And it was cool that Superman, like, said, I heard you were crazy, but I didn't think you were stupid, kind of thing. And boom, and then, you know, messes it. Or what happened? Remember, he threw him over his shoulder.
Yeah,
that's
like
what it was.
Yeah,
he throws him over his shoulder. Like, I don't know what he was hoping to accomplish out of that, but
just to show him that you've got a distribution of weight just like any other person,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I can use that against you and fucking do
and
some
he did. And
jiu-jitsu
then,
on your ass. I don't care what planet you're
And then from. He looked through his mask and saw who it was, and he got, you know,
yeah,
and then
right,
he pulled
right.
out the piece of kryptonite, and then he disappeared on his ass. But then when he was flying home, as he's like, you know, when he's getting out of his costume, he noticed that Batman, he noticed there was a little implant on his cape.
A little tracker.
Yeah. And sure enough, he went to his balcony, he saw Batman, like, you know,
seven blocks away,
yeah,
he sees him with a supervision.
Here.
Yeah, with Locke.
So now
he gives a little salute, like, ah, fucking touche. Now we both know who each other
is. That was really well done. The only thing I did not like about that scene, though, is because Superman's X-ray vision is so powerful, he can't see what you're wearing underneath. He can only... it's so powerful.
There have been a lot of different ways of interpreting
it. Sure, because I know that there's ways right? that he can kind of control it at different levels.
Yeah, layers and stuff.
But I think for the most part, he can't... I'm going to say he can't. I mean, the most he can get out of it, he can see your anatomy.
Right,
okay. But he can't tell you what color underwear you're wearing, if you're wearing briefs, boxers, thongs, or granny panties. Yeah, no way.
Or if you're growing cancer.
Exactly. Oh, maybe. Well,
or if he's giving you cancer by staring at your ass.
Exactly.
Oh, there's a Family Guy cutaway gag, right? Yeah. Well, awesome. These girls get cancer. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't been staring at their fucking tits.
That's awesome.
In high school, yeah.
So those are my top three animated Superman scenes. Cool. Yeah.
It's kind of hard for me to come up with a scene, a specific Superman animated scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never really... I don't know. There's not very many Superman cartoons. I was like, that really spoke to me, I guess.
Okay.
But is it all right? Can I mention like Superboy from...
Yeah.
Sure.
From Young Justice?
Young Justice. He's a clone. Perfect. He counts. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I just kind of... I liked his character, but it was more...
They named him Connor, I believe. His name was Connor in Young Justice.
Yeah, it was a cool concept.
Yeah.
And I liked like the whole sense of, he's like discovering his powers. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how powerful he really is. And there's this whole father thing going on with the actual Superman.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, that's one of my, I think they do a good job of Superman in Young Justice. Because they always give you this feel that he's... ultimately the guy in charge.
Okay.
You know, he's like, all right, there's Batman. I mean, Batman, you know, he has his thing going on, but everyone knows who the most powerful dude is.
Totally.
You know,
Superman. Totally. Like, just a...
I've always wondered whether Superman would take such a harsh attitude towards his clone.
Yeah.
Like, he's so loving.
I guess they did have a little of that in Young Justice, but I think, they had that whole teenage angst thing going on.
Yeah, okay,
which is kind of a turnoff, but towards the character. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the whole... I don't know, it's interesting. He's an interesting character in that he kind of develops... He starts developing an understanding of his potential. And I don't know, it's neat. It's... I guess I liked his character in that respect. And I remember, a couple of... That cartoon has some pretty well done action sequences, and I kind of remember a lot of scenes with him specifically being the most powerful participant.
Yeah, the tank of the group, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That's cool.
And I don't know. Maybe it's kind of cheap. I'm not gonna win any cartoon debate.
No, if it's your favorite, it's your favorite, man.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
There's a reason why it's your favorite.
Some animosity, dog.
Well, okay. Then we got to do more objective claims. Like, what is the quintessential?
Yeah.
What is the quintessential X?
I can tell you. I even got two favorite scenes from comic book panels. I'll even go as far as comic book, real quick, of Superman.
Okay.
And there's only two. I'll start from least favorite to my ultimate favorite. The least favorite is from Hush. When Poison Ivy had hypnotized Superman.
Okay.
And one of the opening scenes is like he's totally just chasing Superman through the sewers. Mm-hmm. And Superman's scared. Like, he's scared. Like, he knows he's going to get it.
Okay.
And I don't know how he's even dodging him. But he's just flying through walls and
I remember
sewer.
This. Yeah.
And anyway, he attempts to pull out some kryptonite to slow him down, and already Superman caught his hand and closed his fist in kryptonite and pretty much broke his hand, which I don't even know how he didn't even turn his hand into, dust.
Yeah, right.
But he crushed the kryptonite in his hand and along breaking his hands and his fingers, and he was about, and you could see his eyes are about, he was about to melt them, because you can see him, and all of a sudden Superman with his faint hearing can hear this help, this yelling. And all of a sudden, he starts, snapping out of it. And keep in mind, he has, this ivy wrapped around his neck and around his chest. So he's totally under the control of Poison Ivy that, again, was out to, kill Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard this familiar scream, and it turned out to be Lois falling from a very high skyscraper. And all of a sudden, he snaps out of his trance
yeah.
to go and save her. And as he's like flying away, you know, he takes off the ivy off of Superman, and all of a sudden now he's like no longer in under anybody's control, but his own, to make sure that Lois yeah. doesn't die. And the contingency plan was that in case Plan A failed, Batman, you know, was able to get Catwoman to kidnap Lois Lane
mm-hmm.
and throw her off a building.
Yeah.
Knowing that hopefully that the screams would totally kind of
make him enough.
That would be like the love for her would see through. Else. Exactly. Yeah. And that was really well done.
I thought that was really well done.
My ultimate favorite, and the reason why it's my ultimate favorite because Nightwing's in it, is is when it was like a kind of like a flashback, like a quick scene in the back. And yeah. you know the story where Superman's flying over Gotham. I don't even, I think it was Gotham. And he sees Richard Grayson.
I don't know.
Richard Grayson just hanging out. And he's kind of just, you know, kind of down and out, you know, kind of feeling sorry for himself, whatever. And it turned out that, you know, he just left the Batcave. And he was at a loss, you know, and so Superman told him the story about Krypton. It was kind of like, I guess, his version of like the 300 almost kind mm-hmm. of thing. And one of the saviors that, you know, kind of came to the rescue of Krypton was a guy with his name was Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was so moving for Richard Grayson, for Dick Grayson, that he asked Superman if he could have that name. And he said, sure. He goes, but by the way, do me a favor. Don't tell Bruce where you got it.
Yeah.
As he's flying away. And I thought that was really well done.
Totally.
So that's, you know, that's my two mm-hmm. favorite comic mm-hmm. book
yeah.
Superman scenes. So not only did I nail
yeah.
the movies, I got to do animated, and I got to do comics.
That's right. You went for a triple-double.
Yeah.
Comics, huh?
Yeah, like a hat trick, yeah. You have a favorite? Superman.
Comic panel or comic?
Comic story or something I've seen. Comic scene.
Okay, Superman, the part in Superman for All Seasons.
Okay.
When Superman saves the dog.
That's how I knew you were going to say that. I love it. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I don't want to go. Go ahead. Yeah.
When Superman saved, just Superman, he's full. Everybody yeah. knows who he is. You know, it's like fucking Superman, jail, you know, Justice League, you know, all that mm-hmm. with sure. all that authority. That the time that he would take, he would go, oh, I'm going to go save this dog. And then the way that it was depicted by Jeff Loeb and
Tim Sale,
of course. It was very genuine, and it's always the part about Superman that I appreciated and liked, like the humble Superman,
mm-hmm.
the compassionate Superman,
sure.
who's going to save the dog. Take the time to save the dog.
Like every life is precious.
Take time to take, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like even the dog's life. You know?
That's cool.
Like I don't, you know, I sure. have time for that too.
Right.
The optimist.
Yep.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me, well, I love the story of Dark Knight Returns. Classic. Everyone loves it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I don't like Superman in that story.
No.
Okay.
You're not supposed to.
Sure.
Granted, but
because it's a Batman story, though.
Yeah.
It's sure, not, of course. You know. Of course. Yeah, and I'm not arguing that's a bad story.
No.
All I'm saying is that I don't like Superman. Sure. I don't like his depiction in it.
Okay.
And maybe that's why I have that Superman is kind of what Zack Snyder's going for in Batman vs. Superman. And there's an element of that. While at one time he's kind of struggling with the government.
Yeah.
There's also that, just like that dark, like that kind of dark edge.
Mm-hmm. And
definitely the Frank Miller Superman had a Reagan-fueled
sure.
80s
yeah.
Military-industrial fiction of Superman. Which just kind of makes you realize how not Superman that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
When you see him depicted like that.
Right.
Superman's a simple character to me. He always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And his virtues outweigh his power, which is considerable.
Yep.
And that's how he should always be depicted, like that. Even regardless of his super strength and his all of his other powers, the most important one that he has is like just his purity. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Do you remember when you were depicting that one scene where the guy was flying, Superman was flying over?
Sure, yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That Joe Schmo from work.
Uh-huh.
I remember not too far after 9/11, you know, the comic book world was trying to kind of
they were trying
to address it, and they were getting in on it.
It was easier for Marvel because they got characters actually in New York.
In New York, yeah. And, you know, like Spider-Man, that was like, you know, that was crazy. But one of my, you know, one of the artwork that I saw of post-9, or I guess it was not even post-9/11 yet because it just came out like maybe less than a year after. It had, the artwork had a billboard of firefighters and police officers. And in the background, it had the towers, you know, kind of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And the billboard read, like, you know, to the greatest American heroes. And it had the firefighters. And underneath the billboard had Superman standing underneath it looking at this billboard like, wow.
Yeah, Superman, I remember this. All, yeah, right.
Was odd. All awe about that. And I just thought that was really cool that, you know, here is, like, you know, everybody looking up to Superman,
right,
because of, you know, the abilities and the, you know, and the great deeds that he does for, you know, us.
Sure,
and
I do say us, him, right?
Exactly, but then for them to, you know, as in the artist, to turn it around and depict it the other way, I just thought it was really.
These are the guys that he admires.
Exactly, right? And I just thought that was really cool that you know, to show, you know, the most powerful guy in the DC universe. I guess he is the most powerful guy in the DC universe. I mean, it was
arguably,
yeah.
Probably.
Sure.
Okay. To be able to, you know, really be at awe for the, you know, for our, you know, first responders.
Totally.
That's really cool. So.
All right.
Yep.
Steve.
I was, as you guys were talking, I realized Superman for All Seasons is literally the only Superman comic I've ever read. I've never read a Superman comic before. I know, it's
as
fucking
much as
weird.
He's
the quintessential superhero.
Yeah.
And I've never actually, well, I was thinking until I realized that I did read Superman for All Seasons. I've never read, sure, he's made appearances in books that I've read, like Dark Knight Returns or whatever, but to read a proper Superman comic, no, I don't think I've ever had. So, if I had to pick a scene from Superman for All Seasons, maybe it's while he's still in Smallville, it's right after the hurricane, and you get that he has this conversation with the pastor, with the local pastor.
Okay.
And he's trying to get the pastor to give him some moral guidance, like, what should I do? What if someone could do, he keeps coming back to this, like, what if someone could do more? And the pastor keeps like, they're there, we all do what we can, you know, blah, blah, blah. You don't expect too much. He thinks this kid needs advice to, like, stay grounded and, like, don't beat yourself up. You know, everyone does their part, blah, blah, blah. And Clark is seriously like, but what if someone could do more? You know, he's really looking for someone to, like, help him address the problems that now totally face him as someone who has
can
no excuse.
Do, yeah.
As could do more.
Sure.
What am I to do? And, you know, the pastor is like no help to him whatsoever. So
sure.
It was a pretty cool scene.
Okay.
Know? It really showed Clark's character, of course, but it also showed that he lived in, to some extent, with the exception of for Jonathan Kent and later, I guess, you know, his own father through, right? In every depiction of Superman, there's some communication that he has with Jor-El, even though he's dead. Like, like the old, you know, memory banks or something like that, right? And that he takes part in his training and shit like that. So, yeah, he's got moral role models.
Okay.
He doesn't not have moral role models.
Sure.
So maybe that's a unique scene because that is him, like, searching for a moral role model and not being able to find one, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah.
You know what, guys? You get swell. That's right.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to have to say that that's going to have to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. If I start talking about something else,
right.
Hey, it's going to go way over.
Yeah, and we can definitely have something for our next show.
Sure.
And it's exhausting coming out with this material.
Right. there is something I got to say, but it won't take very long. I endorsed a movie last week that I never saw, so I watched Primer. I watched Primer this
week. All right.
And I liked it just as much as I thought I would, and for the same reasons.
So it's the best sci-fi movie ever
seen. I stand by my decision. I should make a correction. It is neither mockumentary nor, you know, it's neither documentary nor found footage. It's just very hyper real. It's like fly on the wall of these things going on. But no one person is holding the camera within.
It's like documentary style.
Kind of, yeah. But they're not talking to the camera. It's just very, it's all handheld and it's all digital. It's all low budget.
Okay.
But you really feel like you're just a fly on the wall watching these things happen.
Okay.
So yeah. So Primer. I just want to, Primer. I double endorse it. It does not talk down to its audience. I had no idea what was going on and knew exactly what was going on at the same time. It's a very unique movie.
I'll have to watch it.
I'll end it at that, yeah.
All right. I'll have to watch it and tell you what I think.
Well, please do. Yeah. Let's do that.
I'm being ominous. come on, Sean, what do you got?
Close it up? Well, I'm going to close it up. You know where to get Kamatched.
All right. Well, until next time.
Yeah, put your blood baths in elevator shafts like these murderous rhymes, tight from genuine craft. Check the print, swear veterans, spark the lettering. Slow moving MCs is waiting for the editing. The liquid soluble that made up the chemistry, a gaseous element that burned down your ministry. Herbal vapors and biblical paper smoking exodus. Every square yard is plush. Fuck the screw face photo sessions. Facial expression leaves impression. Try to keep a sharp nigga guessing. Give praise and shout some, here's the outcome. Cut across the semi-gloss, rhymes your floor. Shit is outdated, just like neck loads of sterling. Suede fronts, belt bottoms, and tri-color shirlings. I ain't particular, I bang like vehicular. Homicides on July 4th and Best Stop. When money don't grow on trees, and there's Steven MCs who cut throat to rake leaves. They can't breathe, blood splash, rushing fast like running rivers. I be that whiskey in your liver. This is not an 85 affair, made clear when the guards geared on to perform. Storms brew up, moves up, causing the crowd to self-destruct. Killer bees are stinging something while I reveal science that's heavily guarded by the culprit. Bombing your barracks with aerodynamics foreplay. Poison darts by the doorway. Minds that's laced with explosive doses. Damaging lyrical launcher. Lunge at the youthful offender, the ninja. Any contender testing a murderous master could lead to disaster. Dynamite thoughts explode through your barrier. Rips the retina. Who can withstand the astonishing, punishing stings to the sternum? Shocked in the hip-hop livestock, seeking for a serum to cure them. Thugs killed for drugs, plus the young bucks bust. Ducking handcuffs, throats get cut when dough rush. Out of town foes look shook but still pose. We move like real pros through the streets we stroll. Bullet holes lace the windows in 160. So control the avenues, that's the dream that's sold. Building lobbies, the graveyards of small timers. Bitches caught in airport keys in their vaginas. No peace, yo, the police mad corrupt. You get bagged up, depending if you're passing the cut. Plus, shorty's not a shorty no more. He's living heartless, regardless of the charges. Claims to be the hardest individual. Critical thoughts, criminal minded. Blinded by illusion, finding it confusing. Rule of the Iron Mind, just that 52 fatal strike. Rule of the Iron Mind.